Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 45, for September the 16th, 2013. My name is Stuart Clark.
I'm Jameson Roberts.
I'm Adam Forrestal.
And gentlemen, after three or four takes, we actually got it right for once.
Yeah, we're rolling. Look at us
go. And we've got a good friend of the show returning once again.
Woohoo!
Mike Batista, otherwise known as Franck.
Hello, hello.
Otherwise known as putting strange things in coffee.
Weird things.
Weird things, totally otherwise different. Known
and
as...
And bacon sandwiches.
And the great consumer of ultra-hot sauce.
Yes, ghost pepper sauce.
Ghost pepper sauce.
Oh, my God.
And hearing it hurt.
Yes, and hearing all the tweets about it, you don't really want to know.
The best
reply I saw to one of his tweets was, "I weep for your toilet." It is true.
How hot was it,
Mike?
Start
off not safe for work here.
Oh.
What else is new?
It was hot. Going in and going out.
And you normally like hot sauces.
I do.
But you've been known for...
And the tech angle here is that they actually tweeted about it when I bought the sauce.
That's right.
I was the first person to buy it, so the store took a picture of me.
Yeah, the Western Fair Farmers Market, I saw that. Yeah, exactly. That was... I remember... You remember the suicide wings years ago? I remember you tried those.
Oh, yeah. The disclaimer wings. Yeah, the sign of disclaimer.
Yeah, that's right. I remember those.
Wear gloves.
I think you and Joel Adams did that as well. Yeah, I remember
those
that.
Too.
Yeah, insane. You guys are nuts. Anyway, okay. We're actually going to start with, instead of the first story I have here, I'm going to throw you all for a loop. We're going to start with the Twitter IPO. Twitter actually announced from their official account via a tweet that they're going to do an IPO soon. Not a huge surprise. People have been saying for a while they should be doing this.
Because it worked out so well for Facebook.
Despite that. Now, we should point out Facebook is back above its pre-launch price.
Is it? I stopped following it at some point.
Yeah, closed about 44 today.
Good for them. It took how long, though?
It took a year. But, you know, again, this is where people say you got to be looking at fundamentals, not just... You know, it's not like a crapshoot where you just boom, 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 and you hope to get in and out quick. So Twitter is an IPO. Anyone have any particular opinions on this? Jameson.
It'll be interesting to see what the uptake is, considering what did happen with Facebook. I suspect that it's going to not necessarily have the big drop that Facebook did, considering how much sort of artificially inflated Facebook's original price was. That being said, don't know. My big concern is going to be that up until now, while Twitter has been an ad generating company with private investors, my concern is that we're going to see a lot more monetization of the service, much more towards what Facebook has become, where every fifth post is an ad of some kind. So that's my big concern about it.
Mm-hmm. But considering the price we're paying to use it, is it a big deal?
Yes and no. I mean, it's all fair and game since it is a free service. We're getting to use it for free. It's just one of those things where I think Facebook, to a certain extent, has almost taken it too far in some circumstances.
Well, and Facebook had Mark Zuckerberg basically said, he said it was something he should have done ages ago.
Yeah.
And he possibly faults that for the reason of what happened there. There was a lot of hype. Facebook's valued about $109 billion. Back in last month, they valued Twitter, GSV Capital Corp, one of the investors, said they're worth about $10.5 billion.
Yeah.
So we're talking about one-tenth. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. We will hear more about the financials in that once a roadshow starts.
Well, because they said that they didn't have to disclose anything until a certain point.
That's part of some new legislation, yeah, and all the companies have started doing that with the confidential ones. I think it's going to be, it'll be interesting to see. Adam?
I think this is something they're probably doing with a little bit of caution. They probably did learn a lesson from Facebook. I suspect that they're going to be a little careful to make sure their valuation stays kind of where it should be off the bat, rather than trying to recover from a perhaps inflated in valuation during the initial IPO. I think it's a good move. I understand why they would want to do it. It's just a matter of making sure they don't go through the same hurdles that Facebook went through.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's probably the right plan if they're cautious of that going into it. Doesn't matter to me. Twitter can crash and burn, and my day-to-day life would stay exactly the same.
I know. Yes, our one person is not on Twitter very much. Mike, you know, I've heard some people talking about that people say Twitter's in kind of a different phase of their growth cycle or a different evolution. Do you agree with that?
I'd say so. I mean, it used to be the tech people like us who were the only ones on Twitter. Now,
except for Adam.
Right.
Which is weird. I just found that out now.
He has an account. He doesn't use it. It's pretty sad.
But he does read.
Okay. But anyway, now that's gone mainstream, like you look at the trending topics today versus even 2 years ago, and they're just so vapid and empty, and yeah, which is the same thing that people complain about on Facebook, is that it's just all people posting their meals and their babies and whatever. So it's become a different audience now.
What they ate, what they pooped.
Yeah, you know. But it's a lot more people
coming and going.
Wait,
isn't that what we just turned this podcast into?
Pretty well,
pretty much. Yeah.
But you know, it's true what you're saying. Like, and if you also look on how, as you say, mainstream Twitter is now. You've got radio stations using it. You've got all sorts of media cycles.
Live news.
Yeah. A lot of stuff's being done with Twitter now. You see the Twitter hashtag.
And I think we'll see them, kind of cashing in on some of their investments and their partnerships they've been making. Like with live television, they want to get into that more than they have before.
But I really, really hate what television has become I was watching MasterChef, and every 5 minutes there's a new hashtag up to use. I'm like, seriously, I want to watch the television show, not tweet about it. Yeah. Like, stop trying to enforce.
But that's where there's a lot of. But you know, you look at some stuff like reality TV shows and stuff like that. That's where a lot of people are tweeting. Look at during events like the Super Bowl and season finales of things. You know, look at the number of record numbers.
Award shows, too. It's big for that.
There is something to be said for that, that even though it's not Jamie's primary use of Twitter, that there are certainly people out there who do like being able to live tweet or keep up with whatever is going on in their television show or award ceremony or Super Bowl.
And there's my link to that reality TV article.
There we go.
From today.
Bam.
I was joking with the guys earlier. We're not going to go into it, but there was apparently a new study that reality TV more or less rots your brain.
And regardless of whether or not, I mean, we'll leave the study alone, but there are certainly people out there who are devoted enough that they want to trend and discuss it and go right away.
It's like fans of any show. Like, you know, for example, The Newsroom was on last night, and I knew to turn off Twitter because I wasn't going to be able to watch it last night, and there would have been spoilers.
Yeah,
so.
Same with Breaking Bad. I've been avoiding it all day because of that. A-holes will spoil
everyone dies.
It.
Just kidding. I have no idea. Okay.
I suspect there's a limited amount of truth to that, actually.
I don't know. From what I've seen from the death reels of that show. Whoa. Okay. Let's move on. We had the Apple event last week. Apple iPhone 5S, 5C.
Not really any surprise there.
Nope. Pre-orders have started, but...
Of the 5C only.
Of the 5C.
Which is notable because I know that a few people were annoyed at certain carriers here in Canada when they realized they couldn't pre-order a 5S.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, interesting. Yeah. So, again, now we can start with that. Is that... Do you think they've done that to encourage lineups again at the stores?
No.
No?
No. I think they're trying to get everyone to buy a 5C and try and rebuild the idea of premium exclusivity. So maybe a lineup at the door of that.
But I'm saying if you have to go to the store on launch day, if you want a 5S, there's now going to be people in line again. Where the last couple, there haven't been people in line because they've always been able to pre-order.
Right.
So the four
and the 4S.
Yeah.
No, sorry, the 4S and the 5 in particular.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. There was no lineups. Apple used to get, the carriers used to get a lot of free advertising because every media outlet out there who had a slow news day knew they could take a camera crew out to the mall or out to the Apple store and watch all the fanboys and girls line up, you know, a day or two before.
Yep.
Right? So that didn't happen the last two release cycles. So I'm wondering if that's why they're doing that now.
I don't think we'll see a ton of that anyway, even if there aren't any pre-orders for the 5S. And the reason for that is I don't think they offered anything compelling enough to justify... What's the cheapest one sitting at? $729 or something? I don't think they offered
six something
for Canada, wasn't it?
Well, keep going.
We'll look it up. I don't know if they offered enough compelling, certainly for iPhone 5 users, to go out of their way to spend the better part of $1,000 on a new phone.
Yeah, but 5S starts from $719, the 5C from $599. Yeah.
But for someone who has a 4 or a 4S, I don't even know if the 4S it's worth it. The 4, we'll talk. I mean, the 4 was such a huge leap forward from the 3GS when it was originally released, but a lot happens in 3 years.
Yeah, the 4S has Siri and stuff like that. Like, I've got a 4S now, and there's not really either of these phones that I could really justify moving.
Yeah. And I think I would be in the same boat.
But I know other people who are moving from BlackBerries who love it because the fact's got the gyrometer, some of the health stuff.
Yep.
You know, Mike, you were going to say something? Or
To build on that, I think that's really the killer feature right now, even though it's not really a feature for a lot of people. Like the health stuff, like saving battery life, it's all kind of behind the scenes. But I think moving forward, once they get into wearables, once they get more into this health stuff, having that separate chip or separate part of the chip is really going to be important moving forward.
I think so as well.
It's probably not worth upgrading right now, though, if you have a 5.
Now, what's interesting is I wonder if other people are following that, because Apple didn't release sales numbers from the weekend, which is something they've always done before. So, again, that's got people wondering, is it a heck of a lot less than they were expecting?
I thought I read somewhere that in the United States there were specific colors of 5C that were already sold out for pre-orders. So they are running into those issues. I don't know whether that was unlocked or vendor-specific or carrier-specific, I should say.
Well, maybe they've made a lot more, because when the 5 came out, there was, you know, pre-orders. There was some sellouts almost immediately.
Well,
and this hasn't happened this time.
But with the 5C, you've also got to understand they've got 5 flavors, and it's a far easier manufacturing process. So it makes sense that they could manufacture a lot more of them.
Yep.
So I don't know. I suspect we're going to see, depending on how Apple is actually doing the fingerprint stuff, I suspect we're going to see the 5S fast-tracked for stuff like governmental use. And I suspect it might become the de facto if with the fingerprint-based authentication, or at least as a portion of it.
I don't know about that. I think because it's not really much more secure. It's more like a shortcut to a PIN.
I agree with that completely.
Because it's not two-factor authentication or anything.
No.
The base thing is it means you don't have to type in your iTunes store password.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people are liking. They don't want to have to type that.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm not sure the fingerprint is more secure. It's just much more convenient.
Yeah, and it might be a bit more secure than a PIN. But, I mean, I think we'll see some companies actually disabling the fingerprint scanner in favor of, like, an 8-digit PIN or something.
True.
And you also wonder, it'll be curious to see, you know, with certain people, like devices, will they have the ability to have a fingerprint for an iTunes purchase but turn off for unlocking the phone? Because, for example, my neighbor has a daughter. You know, if only one person can fingerprint can be in there, that's kind of annoying if you want to check to see what they're doing on the phone.
Right.
I think the 5C is also going to be – I was listening to some other podcasts, and I can see some people getting the 5C again. For kids, for teenagers, stuff like that. They don't need the high-end
stuff. It's a good enough phone.
But,
it's even good enough. The polycarbonate plastic is almost invincible. You can probably throw that phone around as long as you're not hammering the screen, and I'm sure it'll last. If we're going to be buying them for younger people, I think the 5C is the way to go, not just on cost or performance, but specifically because that backing will make it pretty durable.
Yep.
The old white MacBook, which has been discontinued at this point, used to be able to take a huge beating, and one of the big reasons for that was the polycarbonate shell. Using that again is smart, and, you know, kids will like the fun colors anyway.
I think a lot of, and they have the new case and different combinations for that. It still looks like a Kinect 4 game.
Can I mention how much I hate the new case?
Sure.
I think it's so silly that Apple went out of their way to make a brightly colored device, followed by an acknowledgement that, well, you don't really see the color of these devices anyway because everyone just puts them in cases. So why don't we make a case that doesn't really cover the phone so that people can still see the color of their device underneath?
And this is what I said. I know we were talking about it last week, you know, when I was saying, to me, if I got another phone, I don't care what color it is because I put it in like an armor case anyway because I'm terrible with my phone.
Yeah. But with the 5C, you might not necessarily need to, for example.
True. It depends what they do with the screen and,
right.
And stuff like that. I'm just putting my phone in airplane mode because I forgot to do that.
Smooth.
Earlier. There you go. Yeah. So, and also iOS 7 comes out, so that'll be an interesting... apparently they've hired a lot of new customer support staff because they're expecting a lot of people to really have some issues at first. It's a big change, almost like going from Windows 7 to something like, Windows 8.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We're gonna
he's the Windows 8 fan.
We're doing that already?
We are. What the hell?
We're going there. One of the things I find interesting, actually, in the don't touch my laptop screen. One of the things I find interesting is stop it. You really did minimize a window. one of the things I find interesting is the new talk about battery life. There's a minor increase in the battery life, at least according to Apple on the new devices. And what's interesting to me, what I think we're going to find is that. Comparing to the iPhone 5 ends up being a little less appropriate once iOS 7 releases. I'm wondering how much of the new battery life is actually attributed to power saving in the operating system.
Exactly.
The 5S and the 5C have, I assume, only been tested using iOS 7 because they're not going to release with anything else. So for the phones to be smaller and lighter, how much are we actually getting out of the phone's battery and how much is the operating system
at work?
And that's
what a lot of people say. They want something that's going to last all day.
Yeah, I've been using iOS 7 since the beta came out.
Right.
And at first, it drained my battery really quick. But, I mean, now it's been optimized. It's a lot better. It's probably even better than it was before.
How are you finding iOS 7?
I like it. I'm a big fan.
I guess we can talk about it now.
Yeah. That's
really
4 days
anyway.
Away. Yeah. That's a typical pattern, though, right? I think we've seen that with dev releases before on iOS, that the first few really drain the battery and they get much better as it progresses towards release.
Yeah, so if they even slightly improve the actual physical battery on the two devices, it'll be
thing I want to know is how much of a difference the A7 chip versus the A6 is going to make a difference as well, because that's the other unknown here. How much is that 64-bit processor going to make a difference in how it runs the operating system, how many times has to cycle, etc. I'm glad we brought that up, actually, because I think that for the operating system in particular, there's probably a difference if they've done what they've said they've done, read on the kernel and read on everything to make it work right on 64-bit. Can we talk about apps on a 64-bit chip?
Yeah.
Apparently, I was talking to an iOS dev who said that basically the only apps that are going to run any different are going to be ones where they're going into almost a base code level and to calculate algorithms or variables of integer lengths, etc. Otherwise, an app should run identically on both versions of the operating system.
Does that mean it's emulating a 32-bit environment, or does the chip somehow just handle it? Like what?
I'll be curious to see how that's being done.
Because, Apple's saying that old apps are going to work just fine. I don't completely believe it. I think we're going to see some compatibility issues. And how much are developers really going to take advantage of 64-bit processing when they...
They might not have to, though.
But, I mean, you do have to, don't you? In order for your app to address extra memory, computation ability, don't you have to set it up to be able to do that?
Only if you're looking to do that type of thing. If you're using Xcode to spit out the compiled code in the end, it should automatically build it in.
And if you've got an existing app that works just fine, unless you're planning on doing
that. That's what I mean. In order for developers to take advantage of 64-bit, their existing app is...
Well, but how's that different than on the Windows side when we went from 32 to 64-bit?
I guess what I'm saying is that I don't think the 64-bit is going to offer any dramatic advantage.
Unless a developer specifically puts something in for it.
Right.
And that was the same.
Well, that was the same, but now what we're seeing is a lot of developers have... We've done that transition on computers. We've moved over, and a lot of stuff now is 64-bit. And sure, we're taking advantage of it. But I guess my point is that Apple's making a big deal out of 64-bit in this processor. For the next year until the iPhone 6 releases, how much advantage are we actually going to get out of a 64-bit chip in one of these
Everything
units?
Has to have a start at some point.
I suppose. Yeah. I suppose. It really felt to me like Apple was really putting a ton of emphasis on this upgrade to 64-bit. We're switching to this. It's going to be way better. Great.
Right. Okay.
I just felt like it was a lot of emphasis for something that I don't think is going to show its potential.
Mm-hmm. I think it won't necessarily show its potential until we get a revision of an iPad with a 64-bit in there. If they start pushing iPads and iOSs more towards a tablet PC feel so that you're plugging it into a monitor or something like that. Yeah. Once we reach that point, then you're going to notice a big difference between between the 32-bit architecture and the 64-bit architecture, but it'll be a moot point.
You think people are going to jump on it that quickly?
Potentially.
I think it depends what it is.
I can see certain apps, you know, certain apps for that, for tablets. Again, you know, we're expecting hopefully an October, November announcement on the iPad line. Someone didn't have their laptop speakers on.
My fault.
What I was going to say was that going forward, I mean, I think, what was it, AutoCAD has released an app for CAD type stuff.
Right.
So an iPad running a 64-bit processor.
It's going to make a difference.
With
something
an AutoCAD.
Like
right, certainly. Yeah, sure.
That's going to make a difference, yep. Exactly. Okay, let's move on. Bell's decided to cut roaming fees by half. Now the tinfoil side of me says this is like a crumb to say, see, we weren't the bad guys.
Right.
But, you know, again, are people gonna believe it? Anyone has some opinions here?
It strikes me as them cutting the value of one of what is likely one of the least significant aspects of their services.
So it's not going to make much of a difference in their bottom line?
For a good PR stuff?
I don't think it's... I mean, we hear horror stories all the time. I was roaming to the States, and I used... But I have to believe that happening is, you know, a handful of people here and there.
Well, and it's a lot less now because they have to warn people
right.
due to the new CRTC.
Yeah.
So they're making less money on it anyway.
Absolutely.
Now they're doing this move of good faith kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to impact anything.
Yeah.
I always remember going down to Niagara-on-the-Lakes, going to the Butterfly Conservatory, which is a couple of miles in from the border. And actually, I got the message up. The AT&T signal was much stronger than the Rogers signal at that point. So it came up and warned me. It says, oh, I'm trying to connect to this. We should mention Mobility.
Yeah. It's I went to the States a little while ago, and I'm going again tomorrow. So this is fresh in my mind.
If they let you over the border.
Yeah, we'll
okay.
see.
Yeah.
But what you do is you get a SIM card from Roam Mobility, and then you sign up, you top it up online, and it's like $4 a day if you pay by the day for like 100 megabytes or
That's
something.
Good.
And you know, I think it's unlimited
good.
Voice and text. And if you go out from there, it's like $12 for a week or something. Like,
That's
or 12 bucks
idea.
For 4 days, maybe it was.
So does it strictly give you data? You say it replaces your existing SIM.
Yeah, it gives you data, it gives you voice, it gives you text.
Your phone
it gives you a new phone
yeah.
number to people
cool.
for people to reach you at. So that's a good option for Canadians going over the border just for a few days.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, going with your carrier, it's going to be ridiculously expensive. Even at half price, it's still going to be a lot.
Right.
Well, and most people that are going to be going overseas a lot are going to have either a plan or they're going to have an alternative SIM or an unlocked phone or something like that. So something like this would actually be kind of useful.
Well, and I think it's because we've seen the news reports. People are much more aware of it now.
Yes.
Where they weren't before. So, yeah, I think...
Are you kidding me? Every year when I go to the auto show, as soon as I'm driving through the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel, halfway through, I'm turning off every single data and every yeah. single possible thing that could send a signal.
Well, and I think that's what's happening. So, yeah, I think in terms for the carriers here, it's probably a good PR move, even if the majority of people are going to be cynical.
Yep.
You know, and as some people in our chat room says, in Europe, a lot of people, yeah, it's often cheaper just to buy a temp phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on that one, or should we move on?
I think it's a token sort of handout saying, hey, look, we're going to make it cheaper for you. But
yeah. I mean, they've been trying to introduce more roaming options with like roaming plans and stuff. I know that Rogers has a billboard right at the edge of where, when you drive into Buffalo, right at the edge of where the Rogers Tower will get you. There's a big Rogers advertisement saying, you're about to leave the Rogers area, you should get a roaming plan.
That's smart advertising.
Yeah, fair enough. But I don't know. I feel like this is such a small... I honestly, because of the CRTC, maybe because of other stuff, I feel like it's just not going to be that big of an impact to
right.
Bell's bottom line. It's just... trying to
PR.
Yeah, it's PR. It's trying to make
PR
them work
at its finest.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on. Intel's next Atom chip launches and could majorly change the playing field. I assume this is one of your stories.
Yeah, well, and I know Adam's also read up on it a little bit too. So the next gen Atom chips to go along a little bit. Well, they're essentially the next gen version of the Haswells, only for mobile or for tiny PCs.
No.
Am I wrong there?
Yes.
And now we have the left versus the right. Live on the Canadian Tech Podcast. Okay,
anyways.
Adam, set us straight.
Yep.
Mainly Jameson Straight.
They are not at all built. The thing about the Atom line is it's an easy mistake to make, I guess, because when Intel refreshes a line, they do their Core i series, and then they do their Pentiums, and they make the new Pentiums based off the same architecture as whatever the Core i's are running off of. But the Atoms have always kind of been something completely apart and away. I'm sure, having not delved too deep into the tech specs on Bay Trail, that they're using some of the same technology that they implemented in Haswell. Stuff like the ability to save power, not that Atoms ever used a ton of power to begin with. But I know the focus for the Atom chips isn't the same as the focus as what you use in the mobile line.
No.
It's not about trying to save power because they're so low power already. It's about getting more out of it.
And isn't this what as the article mentions, they were saying they were kind of critical with Windows RT. You had the Surface RT, and there was just some things that wouldn't run well on it.
Right. Yep. Well, this would
change that.
Right.
Significantly.
Although the Atom chips are not to be used in any sort of Windows RT device. The Atom chips are not designed for... They're not an ARM tech. They're not any kind of ARM architecture. They're not designed to run the RT ARM-based Windows
or anything Tegra. Okay.
Anything you see with an Intel, anything you see with an Atom is either going to be running Android or
full Windows.
Full Windows 8.
Or full Windows 8, right.
And I'm going to come back to that much later in the show.
Okay.
But they're quite interesting. The new ones are... Every time a new Atom line comes out, they really step up the performance. So I'm really excited to see these in action.
And for example, in the article that we'll link here, it said that they saw a system running a 4K video on a Bay Trail Atom chip with no noticeable stutter.
Yep,
which is huge.
So we should get some nice high res screens out of whatever tablets these things are powering.
Said the first Bay Trail tablets should ship with a 1920 by 1200 display.
Yeah,
and the full Retina display resolution shouldn't be that hard for them either.
Yeah. No, they certainly went out of their way to step up power. And I know the other thing that got stepped up this time around was the iGPU, which is important if you're trying to do the high-res stuff.
Yep.
The new Bay Trails look really good if you want a portable Windows device.
And okay. they should run everything like a champ. And it would be, I think where you're going with this, it would be interesting to see what a next a Surface RT, quote-unquote, or a Surface Lite running an Atom chip would be.
I would love a Surface Lite. If only there was a company that was planning on making a tablet for about the same price as a Surface RT but ran full Windows 8 using the Intel-based platform.
God, would there be such a company, Adam?
If only.
Anyone we know. Perhaps there is.
Maybe it starts with a big A and ends with an S and maybe has a couple more letters in between.
Okay.
Maybe you'll talk about it later.
Mike, any comments on this?
No. I'm just happy that's Moore's cool. Law is still in effect and marching on.
Yep, exactly. Okay, let's move on.
This one's yours, Adam.
HDMI 2.
Oh, yeah.
Stereo guy.
Yeah, people who know me will know that I know tons about computers, but my first love as far as tech is concerned is really tech in the home theater. So whenever we get big announcements
like
this...
His neighbors love him.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, whoever lives in 2204. that's my downstairs neighbor. Out of the IFA, the conference last week or the week before, they started announcing some big stuff, and this is one of the other big ones. HDMI 2.0 got announced, which is kind of a big deal. Designed to get around some of the issues we have right now. Stuff like 4K TVs can't display 4K content any better than 30 frames per second because the old HDMI profile couldn't handle it. Basically trying to migrate the home theater market towards 4K use, which is less interesting to me than the other proposed application, which is sending two 1080 streams to one TV at the same time.
Which is also kind of cool.
Which is really cool if you can separate them out using 3D technology.
So what's this going to do for the average person?
The average person with their current equipment, not really a whole lot. The nice thing that I can say for that person is that everything you own right now is going to work with the new standard, and the new standard works with everything you've got now. So you don't need new cables, you don't need new anything. It's a new hardware standard, and your cables should have more than enough overhead bandwidth to be able to handle it.
So do not go out and buy those overpriced monster cables.
Absolutely, yes. That would be my recommendation. You can get away with very basic HDMI cables. As long as it's getting the signal there, you're good. If you are the kind of person who likes to stay ahead of technology and you want to go ahead and get yourself a 4K TV, go for it. It's going to be great. the
and a couple of years down the road.
Yeah, when there's more content. But one of the big issues right now with 4K is content. So with the release of a new Blu-ray standard, which got announced a couple weeks back, the 100 gigabyte Blu-rays, or was it the 150 gigabyte Blu-rays, whatever we're up to
it's
now.
Something large.
With a 4K Blu-ray player, with the new profile, you'll actually be able to watch 4K videos at a proper frame rate, better than the 30 that we're kind of stuck with now.
So, right. So we're still going to see these the new version of Blu-ray just because people can't stream that sort of size. Is that what?
At this point, yeah. Is anyone trying to compress 4K video down to
something reasonable,
an Apple TV level device?
Okay.
Well, maybe in Kansas City,
right? But
or those Korea or those countries that have decent fiber,
it'll trickle in the way that 1080 did. When 1080 released, the only way to get 1080 was out of a Blu-ray player. And now we've got deinterlacing 1080i into 1080p, 30 frames per second for some high-def channels.
Right.
And now we've got Apple streaming it. A lot of streaming services are now doing compressed 1080p video. So it'll trickle in. I think the switch to 4K is completely unnecessary anyway. But, hey, the TV manufacturers have to try and improve somewhere.
They got to keep selling products.
Exactly right. So it's great that we're now going to be able to do this. As I mentioned before, the thing that's more interesting to me, more exciting anyways, aside from the new aspect ratio that supported super wide is now supported by HDMI. The one that's really exciting for me is the idea that if you want to watch one thing on TV and I want to watch something different, or you want to watch something and I want to play my PS4, we can both do that because the new anything that's 2.0 enabled will be able to handle two 1080 streams. Whether or not the TV has a way of showing it is up in the air.
Right, exactly.
But it's pretty easy to use the 3D tech we have now to have the glasses be off from each other to show.
Maybe we'll just plug it directly in our brains.
Yeah, right. Or we can use Nintendo 3DS type stuff where someone's sitting on one side of the room sees something different than someone sitting on the other side of the room. Lots of cool stuff coming forward, all made possible by a new profile update that we just got from IFA.
So let's just wait and see for the first big box store to say, new HDMI 2 cables.
Yeah, well, it won't be the big box store. It'll be the cable manufacturers who put it on their box. Big stickers,
well, and then they
say,
try and promote it right, to the big box store. You know, exactly. Yeah, so.
The only downside is, of course, you're only going to be able to do all this stuff with 4K, with your HDMI 2.0 enabled stuff. So if you've got, for example, a
360?
Well, it's not a 360. If you've got, for example, a receiver at home, a home theater receiver that wasn't enabled with the HDMI 2.0, it won't be able to send 2.0 signals up.
Just like that new receiver you bought.
The one that I got is 4K enabled, so I'm not worried about that.
Okay. I had to wind you up there.
You had to, but
I know, it's a nice receiver.
I bought that one thinking forward.
Does it do power over HDMI yet?
I don't think we've seen power. We're now getting.
I just want fewer cables.
Well, yeah, that's my point. Yeah, that's what I'd like. I'd love fewer cables.
Yep.
Okay, let's keep going. A little bit of Halo in your Windows Phone. Shouldn't this be a little bit of Siri?
No.
Cortana is from Halo.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love this. I'm so happy.
That Cortana. I'm sorry.
I'm so happy about this. So Microsoft is testing and working on Windows Phone 8.1. I would actually kind of like to try Windows Phone at some point as a side note. But anyways, so they're codenaming their Siri-like feature, Cortana, after the Halo character. So it's kind of amusing that you get to walk around with Master Chief's AI in your pocket. I love it. I think this is brilliant.
That could be awkward at the most inopportune time.
I'm hoping. Me and my friend Cam both decided that if we ended up with Windows phones, we'd have to teach it to call us Chief. So that would, because
and if you're not the only ones who have come
exactly
up with that,
right.
I could just see you guys all at a Star Trek convention
and
a Halo convention, and someone's phone goes off.
All I have to say to Microsoft, if they ever listen to this, is please, I'm begging you, down on my knees, begging you, get the voice samples for this from Jen Taylor. Get the voice actress who did Cortana in the Halo series to be your voice sample for Cortana. I will buy your phone like that to get this. This is incredible
to
me.
He's got a crush.
It's the Halo fan in me coming out. I think it would be absolutely outstanding to have Cortana giving me directions.
It's code. You realize that.
Well, still.
It's not real.
Still think it's incredible.
Okay. Just want to make sure you have that distinction.
No, I think it's a brilliant naming thing on Microsoft's end to call their assistant
Cortana. I think it certainly makes sense. There's certainly a lot of linkage. Hey, I only played the first one. I know the name. So that's why I was getting confused. Anyway, moving on. Microsoft wants to buy your iPad for at least $200.
I saw this and I thought for sure I was going to go get a Surface. I have an old iPad at home. What Microsoft is doing here is...
Yeah, but you're the exception to the rule.
I have a first-gen iPad.
Doesn't work.
I have a first-gen iPad. I thought, they won't use it for this one. Whose story is this?
I actually found this one myself. It was from The Verge. But apparently, they want Apple's iPad 2 and above, and you can use it to buy a Surface.
Now, there's no restrictions that it has to be an RT. That it has to be an RT or a phone.
No, actually, it says for at least $200 gift card, and it has to be gently used. It's only available in Microsoft stores in the U.S. and Canada, and not online.
And it's a Microsoft store gift card. That's an important point.
Yes.
It's not just a Surface gift card.
No,
it's a Microsoft store gift card.
But you know, they're definitely pushing. This is, you know, when you think about it, they've cut the Surface RT by 30%. They've written 900 million. They've done a write down of 900 million. They've reduced the Surface Pro by 100. They've also announced they're talking about a special Surface event in September 23rd, where they're expected to launch the Surface 2 and Surface Pro 2. Includes an adjustable kickstand. What do we think?
This just reeks of desperation.
If
we don't have anything to offer ourselves, so, you know, come and
we'll
give up your other devices and we'll give you money. Our money.
I think that's exactly right.
Yep.
But all the same, if they'd been taking iPad 1s, I would have gone to my nearest Microsoft store and traded up.
But I guess how many people would do that?
But
though?
Yeah, and I guess the thing is, if they're only offering you $200, I'm assuming that's for a low-end iPad 2, you can get more for that on Kijiji.
Sure you can. Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to make it a little bit. And, you know, for a lot of people, are they going to give up their tablets for a Surface?
But I wonder if they're trying to use it, A, as a bit of a PR stunt, but B, more importantly, to get people into the Microsoft store. Because Apple has been known for a long time about the Apple store experience. You go in there for the experience, for the staff, for what's on display. So are they trying to, more importantly, drive people into the Microsoft store? Adam, you yourself said that it was for a Microsoft Store gift card.
Correct.
Now, how many Microsoft stores are there in Canada?
Three.
Right, okay.
I think it's a huge
market now.
No. No, but it's, I mean, I...
Why not offer it online?
Microsoft designed this promotion for people who live in the States. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Yes, they extended it to Canada because we happen to have some Microsoft stores, but honestly, this promotion was designed with the United States in mind. They have how many stores in the U.S.? I know it's not a ton, but I'm sure it's... I'm going to make a number up. It's probably 50 or 60. I bet every major urban center has at least one Microsoft store.
I'm just wondering because, you know, you have services like Gazelle.com. And I bet if I looked up the price of a gently used iPad on that, it's going to be more than $200. And, you know, if you're going to entice people in, you got to give them a reason.
Yeah, but like I said, I suspect they're trying to use it to drive foot traffic.
Yeah.
Because if they can get someone in there going, well, my laptop's outdated, I've got this iPad that I was never really happy with, there's the potential for not only a Surface sale, but a tablet sale, an Ultrabook or a laptop or like a Lenovo Yoga or something like that.
I just want to come out and say that I was wrong, and I owe our listeners an apology. There are not just three stores, Microsoft stores in the country. There are four.
And where are those stores?
Burnaby, British Columbia, Vancouver, British Columbia, Toronto, Ontario, and Toronto, Ontario.
With one coming soon.
With one more coming to Vancouver soon, so that's going to be three in the greater Vancouver area. And one additional one coming to West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton. Mm. So that's, we're going to be up to six.
Okay, and I stand corrected. Gazelle will give... Now, maybe they just heard about this announcement. They'll offer $170 for a flawless 16-gig iPad 2.
Okay. Yeah, you think Microsoft would have to beat that.
Yeah,
you
know, common services. Services for sure. Maybe not beat eBay, but a big service like that guarantees you a certain amount of money, you'd think they'd have to.
They're gonna have to beat that. So, okay, well, like I said,
it'll be interesting to see whether or not people on Kijiji are now charging more.
Kijiji is just a completely...
Anyways.
There's weird things on Kijiji. The land of where things do not make sense. People do not make sense. You know, sometimes much like our chat room. Okay.
All right.
Moving on. article from InfoWorld. I know we were talking about this a few weeks ago. Outlook.com, formerly Hotmail.com, they finally added IMAP support.
Thank freaking God.
For those people that still want to use that, unlike those of us who left eons ago for Gmail.
I give you that. I give you eons ago it made sense to switch to Gmail. I think the current, this is personal opinion, and I know you guys have been putting me up as being the Microsoft fanboy, and that's not entirely true, but I think the current,
not mostly.
The current Outlook.com interface.
It looks good. No, I have to admit, my wife uses it, and you know, she likes it.
I really like the interface, and I would happily use my Hotmail account more if only they had IMAP support.
Well, they do now.
And decent spam filtering.
You know what? I can deal with that. It's more the synchronization between multiple devices that kills me. I hate using an email service, be it a third, you know, something like Gmail or. Like Rogers.com or whatever, if it doesn't support asynchronous, especially in a world where we've got devices where setups where the average person might have at least two devices,
right.
You don't want to have to check your email twice.
Well, and I think the other problem is they've had, in the last year since they rebranded it, they had, both in March and August, they had a fairly high-profile failure of the service.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to work on that. Mike, you know, in your day job, you do technology research and stuff like that. What are people saying about is Outlook.com? Do you think that...
I haven't heard of a lot of uptake on Outlook.com because, you know, every business uses Exchange Active Sync internally. So, I haven't heard much of that. I think for the average person, at least, that this makes it easier for third parties to tie into Outlook.com. So one use I saw in this article was it's a travel company that, you know, searched your email for, travel notifications and pulled all those into one place. So that'll be a plus.
Cool.
And we already saw that with stuff like Gmail, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, alrighty. Let's move on. I found this one most amusing, but it kind of makes sense. USB condom protects your devices from nasty ports.
Are we saying that you can't trust USB ports?
Apparently not. This is really a good idea, though, when you're traveling or something, you know. And this is what happens when you're who knows where you are and you see a USB, you're thinking, oh, I got to charge my device. You know, even into another computer or something, you don't necessarily know what's going to be there. Where this little device here, basically isolates the pair that is just for power only, and there is no data connection.
I thought a condom didn't go on the pair. I thought it went on the shaft.
Yeah. See, I was waiting for that. This is why we have you here tonight. This story, Mike. This story is why you're here tonight.
But do you have your iPad plugged in right now, Mike?
Oh, no. You tricked me. But it's not really a condom, really, because it still lets the power through.
Right.
So you want clean power as well now.
A condom should let nothing through. You say if it's letting something through, then you got a problem 9 months later.
And that's how iPad minis are made.
Are we really doing this? Yeah, by the way, the whole comment board on The Verge is pretty similar humor there. But no, I think in terms of a security thing, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when people are traveling, because you don't know. How easy is it to put you could have something like we've got here, and that could have something else that could be downloading a Trojan or something.
Well, and earlier this year, there was the story where someone was able to trick the iDevice into executing malicious code after plugging it into a tampered with Cube adapter.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, iOS 7 has it built in now.
Yeah.
Where as soon as you plug in into a new device, it says you want to trust this device. Send data back.
And
if you say no, don't trust it, then it just gets the power.
Hmm. So there's another thing as well. But no, I just thought it was worthy of consideration. And I knew Mike was going to be on this week, so I knew there'd be at least a pun or two there. So I didn't, as usual, you did not disappoint. Okay, so from some funny news to kind of sad news, if you're an employee of HTC, HTC America, they've had layoffs 20%. Whose story?
I just saw it. I didn't get a chance to read it, actually. Yeah, I know.
Okay, Adam, tell us all about it.
Oh, I didn't read it, but I also didn't volunteer it into the show.
It's not good news, though. It's not necessarily surprising. I mean, HTC hasn't necessarily been faring as well as Samsung or like
Nokia
or other.
I'm going to chime in here and just say that while that's true, I have found it surprising because of how solid and excellent HTC's
true.
Most recent phones,
you know
two
what?
Phones
but
are.
But you know what? A lot of people used to say that about BlackBerry, too. And it didn't help because unless they have the gee whiz factor, particularly in the consumer market, as we've seen. I'm just pointing that out.
I understand exactly. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. The HTC One really, I mean, if you were going to get an Android phone now, I would almost recommend it over the GS4. Right. It's got a lot going for it.
Yeah, same here.
Well, I was just going to ask you, Mike, you were at Mobile World Congress last year? This year.
That was the
beginning of this year.
Yeah.
How big a presence is HTC in that market? Because I have to admit, I'm totally ignorant on that.
They're a large presence. I mean, Samsung is the big one with Androids right now, obviously. But HTC is up there, too, at least in America. I thought they'd be, you know, going forward one of the players. I don't know. That does surprise me that they laid off 20% of their employees. Hopefully that doesn't mean much. I mean, I didn't read the article either. I just read the headline.
The press release...
It could just be getting more efficient or something.
The press release from them said that basically they're just trying to streamline and simplify and make it more profitable for their shareholders.
Well, and this is also...
what they always say.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
And basically in quarter three, they're expecting to post their first loss in a few years. So that could be it, too.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to keep an eye on what's happening there with that one. Okay, moving on. Grand Theft Auto. It releases tomorrow, unless you were lucky enough to order it from Amazon. And Amazon,
whoopsie,
they shipped a couple in advance. The review from the Globe and Mail is very good. I've always loved the previous titles on PC and that.
Yep.
Anyone planning to get it?
Oh, yeah. I'm leaving for the next 3 days for the actual California, so I have to see it in real life instead of playing it in game. Oh, I'm so disappointed. It's terrible.
Those silly real life places.
I know.
I've had my eye on this for a long time. I have to say, almost what's catching me more this time around than anything else is the multiplayer. There's almost been a resurgence in the GTA for multiplayer lately. For whatever reason, Rockstar, maybe 8 months ago, 10 months ago, released some new game types and modes for GTA 4, which is, you're now supporting a 6-year-old game, but well done.
It was probably to build anticipation for multiplayer for this.
I suspect so. And this game just looks, I mean, visually it looks incredible. The size of the actual playable space is something like the last 3 or 4 GTA games combined.
That's what I saw. And apparently the map is just beautiful.
Yeah. This has been a highly anticipated game. I can't bring myself to buy it, only because my backlog right now on games is so long that I could just as easily pick this one up in a couple of months for a little less.
Yeah, this is going to take hours.
Absolutely.
Hours. They always provide a lot of content.
So I will gladly pick this up for PS3 a little ways down the line, and I'm excited to do it. It's just not... because of my situation with these games, it's just not a priority for me right now. But it does look absolutely incredible.
It's a whole working for a living.
Yeah, I know, right?
It takes away from good gaming.
Yep. I want to mention one thing that I thought was really funny. There was a review for it put up on GameSpot today, which is one of the websites I use most often for my video game reviews. And I've seen I saw a word used that I'd never seen before. Actually, is that who's that? Is that CNET saying the same thing?
Yep.
CNET and GameSpot, have both used a word that I've never seen applied to a video game before. They're both referring to it as misogynistic.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw that from GameSpot, the first thing I did was I scrolled up and I checked the name on the article. Maybe this is me being sexist, but the misogynistic game, the article was written by a female writer.
Now, in CNET's case, it's written by a male writer.
I will say that despite having that negative comment, the female reviewer still gave it 9 out of 10. She still said, nope, it's good enough to look well past these particular flaws. It's great. I've never heard of a video game being referred to as misogynistic. Caught me a little off guard. Yeah. But it still seems like it's a pretty solid, incredible game, like it's supposed to.
Yeah,
to be honest, most GTA is built of a franchise around it being blatantly misogynistic. So I think as long as you accept that as part of the game and it being purposely done that way,
Yeah, then, like it's a game about murdering people and committing crimes.
Yeah.
I mean, misogyny is just one of the many bad things that the people in the game are doing.
Well, I also like the review in The Guardian where they said it's also a monstrous parody of modern life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
You know, and it's true. And, you know, this is not a game for kids. Let's get that right off the get-go.
Yeah, no. I think there is a big push in the gaming kind of community to be more inclusive, to mm-hmm. be less offensive to everyone, which is a good thing, but I think it may be a little misdirected in this case where you're playing a criminal and the whole point is to be a satire of.
And it's geared towards an adult market.
Yep. Yeah.
If a kid's picking this game up,
there's a problem.
There's a problem.
That was one of the comments I saw most recently on Reddit is as a GameStop employee, all I'll be doing for the first day or two it said is explaining, nope, you are not old enough to buy this game.
Show me ID to buy this game.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's worth mentioning that Metacritic. Over the 24 reviews that have been made available so far, has given Metacritic just aggregates reviews and averages them. Metacritic sits at a 97 over 24 reviews.
Holy crap!
Wow,
which is quite high.
That's incredibly high.
Yeah. So far it's been getting reviewed really well.
And hopefully they won't have any DRM problems or stuff like that.
Servers not working?
Servers not working, stuff like that. Brings us to our...
Or user unlockable mini-games that cause the GTA franchise name to take some take some flack.
Take some flack for, you know, speaking of putting strange things in coffee. Sorry, it was there. Hot coffee, you know.
Oh, God.
All right. Anyway, let's move on to our picks of the week. I'll start this week because I actually have one. I'm probably late to the game on this one, but my neighbor was talking about it. Him and his daughter play this Real Racing 3 for iOS. It's a cool little freemium freeware game from EA Games.
Mm-hmm.
Good little graphics. Like anything else in the market, if you really want to get ahead quick, you got to pay money. That doesn't really bother me, so I don't care. And I guess there's a lot of criticism on the new review, but the graphics are very good. You actually use your iPhone like a steering wheel. Very impressed with it, actually. So, yeah, it's been kind of fun. It's been one I've been playing a little bit. It's been really good. Let's move on to Adam.
All right. I mentioned earlier that if only somebody was taking the Intel Bay Trail and putting it in a Windows 8 device.
You did, Adam. You happened to mention that. And I think you said began with an A.
And ended with an S.
S and a couple of letters. My God, you found something.
I did. So Asus is releasing a new Transformer model in the middle of October. So unlike previous Transformers, this one's actually shipping with the keyboard dock, which I think is remarkable on its own.
And it comes with a 8.1, can have a start menu.
Yes, mm-hmm. A start menu. More importantly, you can launch to your desktop screen.
Excellent.
It does come with the Intel Bay Trail. It's one of the first devices we're going to see shipping with it. It is full Windows 8.1, as I mentioned. It comes with its keyboard dock, which gives you a full-size USB 3.0, as well as, I believe, a little extra battery life. At least Transformer docks in the past have increased Transformer tablet battery lives. More to the point, the 32-gigabyte model of all of this runs you $349, which is, coincidentally enough, the same price as some other tablet that Microsoft's got, which does not run a full version of Windows. So I have to say, if you're after a Windows tablet right now, this seems a lot more compelling to me than getting an RT.
Do you think 2 gig of RAM, the review model, is that enough?
For what I'd be doing on a tablet, yeah. I don't expect to use it the way I use my PC. I expect to check my email and browse the internet, and it's Windows. So, hey, let's run Office and download silly other games for it. But I don't expect to need a whole bunch of RAM.
Keyboard.
You're not going to be gaming on it.
Keyboard and tablet are 1.2 pounds. So when you put them together, full 2.4, that's not bad.
And there is a 64-gigabyte model available for just $50 more. So you can get a 64 for $399. Comes with the dock, which is a keyboard. I mean, if I was going to get a Windows tablet, or if I was looking at a Windows tablet, and I happen to be looking at Windows tablets, this would be probably the one to get. The only thing I don't like, as Jamie mentioned when we talked about the Bay Trail chips, is that they're capable of handling a fairly high resolution, and this guy does not have it.
It'd be nice to wait. Almost worth the wait.
No, well, I think it's worth jumping on. A lot of Windows 8 devices, despite what their processors are capable of, are jumping down to 1366 by 768. I don't think that's a reason not to go for this, but that is the resolution of this screen, and it would have been nice for it to have been, you know, 1920 by 1200 or something. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're trying to save a little, trying to increase power efficiency so that it's not driving as many pixels.
Well, increasing power efficiency and driving down price. I don't think the $349 price point is coincidence. I think they aimed to compete with the Surface RT directly, mm-hmm. and to be able to get the full 8.1 with I think there's certainly some compelling arguments there.
And I think what's good is, again, both from Asus, Microsoft, and like Lenovo, we're seeing some very innovative designs on the Ultra Notebook, the tablet space. We've talked about the previous ones, the Yogas, the Twists, and stuff like that. So I think it's good to see.
I will mention one other thing about Asus Windows tablets, and that's just that in the past, Microsoft has been very supportive of everything Asus has done. When Microsoft began releasing all those commercials that were iPad bashing, the tablet they were comparing to, in a few cases they did use their Surface, but in a lot of cases the one they were comparing to was the Asus VivoTab,
right?
Which at the time was the top-end Asus, well, probably the most prominent Windows Full 8 tablet. And so this is, I mean, Asus is coming at the Surface in this, no question, but Microsoft has used them in advertisements before, so I don't think there's going to be any bad blood. This will just be another flagship for them to put forward with.
Well, there we go. Hopefully we'll see what happens. Okay, Mike, what's your pick? And I love the little commentary at the end here.
I'll start with that. I'll start with the opposite of a pick. I've been waiting for SimCity on Mac for a while. I avoided going with Boot Camp and trying to run it through that or a virtual machine or something for the native Mac version. Finally came out pretty recently, and it's unplayable.
Right.
They ran into the issues before with server issues, and it had to be constantly connected. That's all fine. I was able to connect, except the game itself, the performance is just abysmal.
Terrible.
And I have a relatively new MacBook Pro.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
So it should run. It runs Diablo 3 just fine, and it should be able to run SimCity. But I put that out on Twitter, complaining about it.
Was that the last game that came out for Mac before this? The last game to come out for Mac before this one was Diablo 3?
No.
Oh,
remember, you're outnumbered 3-1.
I'm just asking.
You could put Windows on a Mac.
You can't put Mac on Windows.
I'm just asking. Is that the last? That was the last release before this one was Diablo 3?
That's enough out of you. He's on Channel 3, right? I can just turn him down. Okay. All right, so what's your pick?
So my pick, I put it out on Twitter that I was complaining about SimCity, and I forget who it was now, so I can't give credit. But he mentioned Tropico 4, which is another city-building kind of game where it takes place on, like, in the Caribbean and, you're a dictator. But similar to SimCity.
Right up your alley.
yeah, exactly. It's a few years old, but it just came out for Mac as well. And I started playing that. It runs pretty good. It's a fun game, so get that instead of SimCity.
Awesome. There we go.
Cool.
Okay, Jameson, your pick, and I was going to ask you about it anyway. Something big's happening on Sunday. We're finally here. Go ahead.
Something very big is happening this Sunday. Yeah, it's this Sunday. This Sunday, September 22nd, here in London, Ontario, we're having Project Play, year number two. Lots of big names on board. We've got Big Viking Games here. Digital Extremes will be there showing off Warframe. They are having eight dedicated machines that they have hand-built to run Warframe.
So that means I got to remember my Warframe password.
I'm assuming that they've got demo accounts.
Well, no, I want to use my own.
Yeah. Okay. Why wouldn't you want to use your own?
That's also a good point. That's a good point. Anyways, so it's from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. at Fanshawe College. It's going to be in Building J in the Student Center.
How does one park there at Fanshawe? Just check your out.
It is free parking.
Free parking at Fanshawe?
It is free parking on the weekend.
Say it ain't so. My goodness.
Yep. So 10 a.m., $10 for entrance, and every single cent of that $10 goes towards charity. This year we are supporting the Namarin Center here in London.
Awesome.
The Glencairn Community Resource Center.
Awesome.
And the Northwest London Resource Center.
Awesome. All great organizations. It's a really good thing. We're also going to be there. I'm going to be setting up a podcast studio.
We will be doing interviews.
We'll be doing interviews. We might even do a mini podcast. That's if Adam shows up on time.
Yeah.
Okay, we haven't figured out a time, but we'll kind of figure it out, yeah. So if you ever wanted to see what happens behind the scenes, please come. We'll have a kind of a travel version of the studio, but we'll have the mics and everything, and we'll do some podcasts. We might do some live streams. That's if I get my 10 dedicated hard lines.
If you give me a second here, I can go through the list of who all is registered.
Well, there's some awesome. We got, like, a lot of the game companies in town, a lot of the game stores, Mega Bloks.
There's going to be not only Mega Bloks has donated 300 pounds of Mega Bloks blocks.
That's a lot of blocks.
There is going to be a kiddie pool full of them. There's going to be a building competition. For the video game companies, there is Digital Extremes, Willpon for food, Galaxy Defenders, Big Vikings, Game Press, which put together an application that allows you to build games, Ingress, Everyone Gaming, Big Blue Bubble, and that's just the video game companies.
We're also going to have Minions, as our chat room mentions.
Yes, there are going to be Minions there
helping.
There
will be Minions. We also have a D&D.
Which will have nice vendor volunteer buttons, so Excellent. You'll know who to ask.
We're also going to have a rolling D&D tournament by good friend Jeff Taylor.
Drop by D&D.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Which edition?
The latest one, actually.
Is that D&D 4? Are they using the yet-to-be-released D&D Next?
I don't know which one.
I'm not sure. See, I'm old school. I still play AD&D first.
Right.
Why do you need to advance beyond what was perfection?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
No, there'll be whatever the latest official version is. Jeff's a good DM. I've played years ago in some of his campaigns.
Yep.
And it's going to be like a rolling campaign. So you can just come in, come out. If your character gets killed, we'll just replace it with another one.
Yep. There's going to be uber cool stuff. He's having his version 2.0 of rolling up the cosmos, which is you roll up the cosmos for Katamari with a big giant ball. There's also going to be some vendors there, like from here in town, Neo Tokyo, LA Mood, uber cool stuff. So you'll be able to buy some cool nerdy swag.
Game Chamber is going to be there. I think they're doing a tournament too, aren't they?
Yes, there's going to be several tournaments.
What were they doing? They were doing not HeroClix, something else. Anyway, there's a bunch of different stuff happening, so it's going to be a good day. Apparently, there'll be some people with cosplay.
As far as I know,
okay. Have you got your cosplay costume ready?
No.
No?
Okay. My cosplay is going to be a Project Play t-shirt.
Okay, that works. Adam, have you got your cosplay costume ready?
Shortest skirt I could find just for you, Stuart.
Oh, God.
You'll be all set.
There you go. Okay, if that doesn't drive attendance to us, I don't know what will. Oh, dear.
So okay. That's my pick of the week.
Awesome. So you may or may not be alive Monday night.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
The weekend's going to be a bit busy because I'm mentoring for Ladies Learning Code on the 21st, so the day before.
Let's talk about that, too.
Ladies Learning Code, this is National Learned Code Day, so they're doing HTML and CSS, so basic web programming.
And where is that being held this time?
That is being held at Goodwill Industries.
At Goodwill again? Okay. Awesome space.
Yep.
Good stuff. Cool. Awesome.
So you can check out the Ladies Learning Code main website. I don't have the link off the top of my head.
But you'll add it to the show notes for me.
I will add it to the show notes, yep. So I'm mentoring for that, and then I have to be at Fanshawe for 7 in the morning.
Oh, dark 30. You'll have to have your wife. Your wife can get you up. Hit you on the head if she hasn't already gone to work.
No, she's got the day off.
Oh,
so she will actually
sleep in.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But she will be coming to Project Play.
Awesome. Adam, anything else you want to plug?
No.
No? Okay. Mike, you got anything lately you want to plug? What else you been working on?
Go to puttingweirdthingsincoffee.com.
Okay. What's the latest weird thing?
Oh, what is the latest one? I had blood sausage a little while ago.
Yeah. Yes, I saw that one.
So check out that one.
Okay. Did you try putting the killer hot sauce in the coffee?
No, not yet, but
okay.
I will.
There you go.
I'm thinking of brewing it with the coffee. Like, put it all over the coffee grounds and then brew it and see how
okay.
It
I suggest you have some open windows and a very strong fan. I'm just that might cause a chemical warning. You might get the UN the UN involved there. That might not be good. All right, we'll see. Just don't do it in a closed room, my friend.
Shouldn't do that.
No, okay. So other than that, everything else going well? Nothing else to plug?
No, it's all good.
Okay, good. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show.
No problem. Always
good to have you here, hearing some stuff from your unique perspective, shall we say. It certainly provides a refreshing one to some other unique perspectives, but even mine. Hey.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, so I guess we're done. So that was an awesome show.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to say, come and see us at Project Play.
Yep.
And you'll see why we have faces for radio.
Yep.
So for episode 45 of the Canadian Tech Podcast, my name is Stuart Clark.
I'm Jameson Roberts.
I'm Adam Forrestal.
I am Frank.
Thank you and be well.